2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Just take a listen to this.
I love the show. I love it. I feel so good about myself in the show. And you and Marianne and Hannah can't understand. But the costumes, the sets, being bathed in that light night after night, feeling seen, feeling beautiful. That is powerful. And I can't imagine my life without it.
She just has such like an old fashioned Hollywood wispy voice. What is it? It's former Baywatch star Pamela Anderson. And of course, Pam was nominated for a Golden Globe this year for an unbelievable performance in The Last Showgirl. And the Oscars then came calling for Demi Moore this year. She received leading actress nomination for her absolute standout performance in the box office hit The Substance. So both Pamela and Demi are kind of now in this very select group of actors who've achieved these spectacular comebacks after years of kind of being cast out into the Hollywood wilderness. And movie buff, is that an okay title for you?
I'll take it.
Jenny Claffey is here now to talk all about it. I'm fascinated by this. I love both actresses and I loved them before they had these big comebacks, but seeing everybody appreciate them is, I just think it's fantastic. So let's start with Demi Moore. Before The Substance, like, what was the last thing she did before The Substance?
Very small parts, right? So a lot of her films she was choosing were indie films. And it is important to note also, The Substance was an indie film. So a lot of the time, these roles can come almost by accident. You know, an indie film makes it big. She played a really great role in a show that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about. It's called Capote versus the Swans. It's by Ryan Murphy. It's brilliant. And this was done 2022. So I wonder, is she filming it around the same time? But she's always been a great actress. I think it's just been the role that she's been waiting on.
And I think it was the fact of how much that role people felt mirrored
exactly
her real life. And so because of that, there was this feeling that nobody else could have done that part.
Exactly. And I actually read her memoir this year. It's brilliant. And she talks so much about like her body struggles over the years and how a lot of the roles she played in the past had this pressure. She was always getting kickback. You know, she got kickback for cutting her hair short for Ghost. She got kickback for bulking up in G.I. Jane. She even got so much controversy over being the incredible age of 40 in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. So I really think that she must have just internalized so much of this and put it into The Substance, and that's why it just rocked everyone's world, because it was such a raw performance of hers and it was so convincing. You know?
Yeah, because it's real.
Yeah, probably. She's been through it.
And then, so that's Demi. Then we've got Pamela. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I think it kind of goes without saying that we just know Pamela Anderson, not just, but the biggest thing we know her for is Baywatch.
Yeah.
So other than that, though, was that her heyday or?
It was, you know, unfortunately. She did a film called Barbed Wire, which is kind of iconic.
Yes.
Yeah. In like, mostly aesthetically, has an incredible poster. And this was kind of built up to be her foray into Hollywood. But unfortunately, there was a break in her and Tommy Lee's house. We all know what happened there. And that really like that invasion of their privacy really put a big stop on her career, which is a very much a sign of the times, 100%. But it is a real thing that happened a lot of people, and it happened to her, and she was really on the come up to be this mega movie star, and it just shut her out from Hollywood, which is incredible to think because she remains so famous. Do you know what I mean?
She was an icon, I suppose. Yeah. But I think it's so sad to see how they took her as just this kind of dumb blonde, essentially.
100%.
And she was so passionate and serious about acting.
Yeah, and she, you know, her documentary is amazing as well. When you look into her life, you know, she obviously started off in modeling, took Baywatch, and kind of had this incredible trajectory of her career. So it is really sad to see, but that is something that has happened to so many actresses throughout their career. You know, no matter what happens to them, they can just be like, oh no, we're not taking her seriously. So it is great to see her be given these cooler roles that I think reflect her interests a little bit more, you know.
So what is it then about the two of them? Why has the comeback worked for both of them? Is it luck of the draw? Is it like a random director or producer deciding to take a chance on you? Is it the timing of what else is out at the moment? Like, why did it work for them?
I think it's a mixed bag. As I said, for Demi, I think she had been taking risks with her roles for a while. But there also, you know, it has to be pointed out that for older women, specifically more mature female actresses, there's not a lot of roles written for them. compared to older men. When you think of older men, you've got gangster movies and all this kind of stuff.
But
you know?
When you say more mature and older, what age are...
I mean, in the world of Hollywood.
Which is what?
I mean, probably 40.
That's
which
wild.
Is crazy. Crazy. It is. And, you know, Demi Moore was even... They spoke about her having a comeback in Charlie's Angels. When she was 40, and you know what I mean? So it's a funny thing because Demi Moore, we have to remember, she was the highest paid actress in Hollywood at one point. She had an incredible career. So I see that less of a comeback for her because she has had a lot of peaks and waves throughout her whole career. And that happens, you know, with having children and all the rest. With Pam, it's almost like her first chance to really kind of go there with roles. Now, The Last Showgirl for me wasn't an incredible film. It was a good film. I think she was really good in it. I think her performance is really endearing, but it was a very subtle role. So I will be interested to see what she takes on next, who kind of gives her her next role. And I think that there could be amazing things in store for Pamela. I think that where she is in her life, she's so secure in herself. We all know, like, she doesn't wear makeup anymore. Yeah. Like, she's really been given a whole new platform. So I think that she is really ready to take a risk. And we can see with Demi Moore, that's really what helped her here. You know, I'm sure if you read the script of The Substance, you were probably like, what is this film? You
so
know?
Do you think that's what makes a successful comeback then? Is it like a rebrand? Because Pamela Anderson kind of did have a rebrand.
Yeah.
She was the ultimate glam icon. And now she's this ultimate underdone icon. Is it a rebrand? Like, what makes it a successful comeback? How are they going about it?
I think it is a bit of a rebrand, but I think it's also maybe just like shaking off the shackles of what people expected from you, you know?
And just not caring what they
just
think.
Just not caring and going for it for the performance, going for it not to, like, not having, feeling that pressure maybe to be so beautiful and to be like, you know, a kind of sex icon like Pamela Anderson was. You know, now it's just like, I don't care anymore. And like with Demi Moore, we saw that in The Substance, you know, like the makeup she was wearing, her physical performance in that film was incredible. So
maybe not playing into the idea that people have of you.
Exactly.
Just doing what suits you.
Exactly.
And feels good.
Yeah, 100%. And like just following your gut with a role, I think, and a script and an interesting director who sees you for you, I would presume, you know, and not wanting the Demi Moore from G.I. Jane or not wanting Pamela Anderson from Baywatch.
Yeah.
You know, it's like seeing that they've got something else in the tank and working together on a role like that, I think, is really important.
What about other actors? Because obviously they're not the only two. Is there other people that kind of stand out to you that you think that's the blueprint?
There is a couple. So Mickey Rourke was a big one. You know, he was a massive actor in the 80s. He then went off to become a boxer. And then he ended up having to get quite a lot of plastic surgery because the boxing took a huge toll.
Was that why he did that?
Allegedly.
Okay. Okay.
Allegedly.
It's a great excuse.
But he came back with The Wrestler and like his career was massive after that. You know, we also have John Travolta, who people forget was a comeback. You know, people forget that during when he did Saturday Night Fever and Grease, after that there was a lull in his career and he came back with Pulp Fiction.
Wow.
And I think it's funny for us to think of that as a comeback because they weren't, you know, you lump them all in together.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was on this kind of upward spike. And then obviously Robert Downey Jr. as well was another big one.
That's actually probably up there as one of the best for me.
I think it is. It's one of the biggest, you know.
That's a big rebrand.
100%. Because he was a bit of a Hollywood bad boy, but it was like his reputation kind of preceded him as
Absolutely.
A bit of a crazy person or like, you know, off the rails actor. And then he came back for Iron Man and like, I mean, you can't really write a better comeback, really.
And, I mean, considering the lifestyle that he used to be known for, he is literally now one of the coolest guys in Hollywood.
100%. And now he's in like Oppenheimer, you know, these Oscar-winning movies. So.
And what about Winona Ryder? Can we talk about Winona?
Winona is one of my favourite actresses of all time, especially all those films in the 90s, you know, when I was growing up. She was just the it girl.
Mm.
And seeing her back in Stranger Things, it made me so happy. I was delighted.
I actually forgot what an incredible actress she is. And it was only, like, when Stranger Things came out, I shouldn't have been, but I was gobsmacked going, oh yeah, Winona's a really good actress.
She's incredible, you know, and I'm so happy she was able to like bring that back and not even, you know, she went full throttle in. Like Stranger Things, it was like, oh, of course, Winona Ryder, she's amazing, you know. So I was so happy to see her back and she seems to have a lot of fun with the role as well. You know?
I have a little clip here because I'm just obsessed with Stranger Things.
We have had a very long day. We have been shot at, nearly blown up, walked God knows how many miles in 100 degree heat, stole a car, all while being chased by this gigantic psychopath. Also, we could bring him to you because somehow you're the closest person who speaks Russian, which I can't believe. But that doesn't matter because unfortunately, we're here.
I love her.
She's amazing.
Like, she's iconic. She's absolutely iconic. But I don't think any of these comebacks or rebrands or whatever we want to call them would be possible without the directors, because it takes a very particular type of person, as you said, mm-hmm. to see something in somebody that goes beyond what they were known for in the past. Like, I think Quentin Tarantino's done it quite a bit.
He was. I mean, as I said, John Travolta, Pam Grier was another one of his. You know, she was a huge actress in the 70s. And then he wrote, is it Foxy Brown? I always get mixed up between the one that she was known for in the 70s.
Okay.
He wrote a role for her, you know, and she was such an iconic actress. And I think what really is with Tarantino is he's a movie buff.
Mm.
He loves movies and he knows his history of Hollywood. So like, he'll remember a film from 10, 20 years ago and go, I want to like bring them back to this iconic.
It's Jackie Brown.
Foxy Brown was the one she was known for in the 70s. So like, she's just such an amazing actress. And that film is one of my favourite Tarantinos as well. It's an underrated Tarantino, I do believe.
I'm trying to think, is there anybody who came after their comeback was actually more successful maybe than their original?
I think Robert Downey Jr. is the one, if I'm honest, because it was to go into that Marvel universe is just like, that's taking your career to the next level, really.
And you're also locked in for multiple movies.
Exactly. But then for him to then be able to now kind of go into more serious roles is really interesting too, because, you know, as an actor, if you land that Marvel role, as you said, like, you're kind of set. You don't really need to take the risk anymore. So his role in Oppenheimer, I thought, was brilliant as well. He was incredible in it. And I think, and you know what, the thing is like, you're you don't always have to want to go beyond what you were known for. It's more like, I think it's more actors who really achieve this, they're accepting that this is a new phase in their career and it's all different roles. Like with Demi, you know, we have The Substance and all this kind of stuff. Same with Pamela Anderson. They don't need to replicate what they've already done because they've done that now. And now I think they're just like, as I said, they're freed from that expectation so they can kind of go beyond and do more interesting roles, which I think is great.
I'd love to see more people do this.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it because I think it's a great message that it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter if you feel that your career is in a lull or it's not going way you want it at the moment. If you hang in there and you persevere, you could come back bigger and better than ever. There's so many people I would love to see do that, like Drew Barrymore. I would love to see Drew Barrymore go back into movies. I know she's rebranded as like a TV host and she's great at it, but I would love to see her come back and try movies again. There's just so many people, child actors in particular, I think I would love to see come back.
Yeah, I know Drew Barrymore, I'd love to see her like playing the motherly role in one of those teenage films that she did, because that's what I loved her in, you know, Driving Cars with Boys. Like, just, I love that. So she was, I would love to know if she would want to, you know, because she did have such a tough relationship with Hollywood, I think, as a child. But yeah, just to see people come back and it not be like token, for them to actually be able to come back, you know, not as a cameo role or not as, you know, almost like a bit of a joke, like, oh my God, there's that person from 20 years ago, to be given the opportunity to have these kind of incredible roles is just, it's brilliant to see. It really is.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming in and talking about all of this with us. I find it absolutely fascinating. And more movie comebacks, please bring them on.
Yes, I want more.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.